السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا، أحسن الله إليك.
الله أمير حوي.
الحمد لله سلام.
How we go, the class we already lit.
نعم شيخنا.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa in continuation of the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he has the chapter heading Babu man zara qawman fa ta'ima indahum. Our last discussions were about al-ziyara. Al-Bukhari said rahimahullah Babu ziyara, the chapter about visiting the Muslim for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the first hadith under that chapter, we heard the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا عَادَ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ أَوْ زَارَهُ إِذَا عَادَ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ أَوْ زَارَهُ. When a Muslim, when a person, an individual, عَادَ أَخَاهُ, if he visits his brother, we mentioned that riyada is usually employed when the person we are visiting is ill, or a person who is held down in a sickness, perhaps. So we say that is riyada tul marid. The messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا عَادَ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ, when an individual visits his brother who is ill, أو زاره, we say that الزيارة is usually employed when it has to do with the person who is not sick, someone in sound health, we are just visiting. So if you visit a brother, whether the person is ill or the person is in sound health, قال الله له, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Tibta wa taaba mamshak wa tabawwa'ta manzilan fil jannah. Tibta, you have done very well. You have achieved goodness and you have preserved goodness for yourself. Wa taaba mamshak, and your moving, your coming, your walking down here is very, very nice and praiseworthy. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ, تَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and you have preserved a nice place of stay for yourself in al-Jannah. These are the things that the one who visits his brother, these are the things that his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him. Tibta وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. طِبْتَ, you have done well and acquired goodness. وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ, your coming was good. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and you have preserved a place of stay for yourself in al-Jannah. The second narration we read yesterday was that of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, visiting Abu Darda and his family all the way between Iraq in Al-Madain and Ash-Sham in what we now refer to as Syria. You can imagine, he came all the way from Iraq to Sham on his feet to visit his brother. That is just to make us understand how much sacrifice the early Muslims put in place to ensure that they partake in these rewards from visiting their brothers. Allah would say, Tibta wa taaba mamshak wa tabawwa'ta manzilan fil jannah. after that, Al-Imam al-Bukhari followed it with another chapter heading that. Babun man zara qawman fa ta'ima indahun. Man zara qawman fa ta'ima indahum. The chapter about the one who visited people and take a meal when he visits them. But after we read from the narrations yesterday, the benefits of visiting a Muslim, that Allah will say to the one who visits Tibta, وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I felt it necessary to quickly mention some manners about visit, even though the most of the points that we shall mention, we will still find them, inshallah, in some of the ahadith that we shall read, because we have already encouraged ourselves about visiting one another. It is appropriate to quickly mention some of the manners that we must observe, some of the lines of conduct that we should follow when we visit ourselves. We shall come back to them one after the other in the books of hadith as we read along, inshallah. But because we have already encouraged it, it is good to quickly mention the manners that are connected to it. Perhaps one of us would have done so yesterday without noting the manners that are connected to such visits. So there are adab, ulama referred to us, adab ziyarati wa zaim, adab ziyara wa zaim, the manners that are related to a ziyara, visiting someone, was zair, which the person who is visiting must observe. The manners of visiting that should be observed by the visiting person. And we take that from Jawami'ul Adab by Al-Imam Muhammad Jamaluddin Al-Qasimi. Jamaluddin Al-Qasimi was a very, very learned person in the late 18th century. The late 18th century, we had one of the scholars of the religion in the European lands. He was Jamaluddin Al-Qasimi, rahimahullah. He has very, very beneficial works. He has Islahul Masajid. Islahul Masajid has been verified and published a number of times by Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah. He also has a book that has to do with Al-Mashq wa Al-Jawrabay. That book has also been checked and verified and published by Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah, and others. Jamaluddin Al-Qasimi is a well-known scholar of hadith and fiqh, and he has many, many beneficial works. He also has a book of tafsir. From the works that he has is Jawami'ul Adab, a book in which he has compiled adab for various things that we do as Muslims. So on the chapter of Adabu Ziyarat wa Zair, in the chapter on the manners regarding visiting and the person who is making the visit, he mentioned a number of points, and I think that we can benefit from those points regarding the manners connected to visiting ourselves. The first thing he mentioned, rahimahullah, he said, وَيَجِبُ أَن تَكُونَ فِي غَيْرِ وَقْتِ النَّوْمِ. وَيَجِبُ أَن تَكُونَ فِي غَيْرِ وَقْتِ النَّوْمِ. It is very necessary that أَن تَكُونَ فِي غَيْرِ وَقْتِ النَّوْمِ, that it comes at a time which is not the time that the people are sleeping. That is, don't make ziyara. يَجِبُ أَن تَكُونَ ziyara. That is, it is necessary, compulsory, so to speak, that your ziyara is not in waqtun nawm, the time that the people are sleeping, maybe in the afternoon when they rest, or in the night after they would have slept. So if a person, you know, he rests between zuhur and asr, he makes what we refer to as qaylula, don't visit him at that time. If he doesn't make qaylula, but he sleeps at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the house, don't go and visit someone at 11 o'clock. At the time they would have been, they would have returned to their beds for the day. يجب أن تكون في غير وقت النوم وتحسن في غير وقت العقل. Likewise, it is also encouraged. It is better if it is done away from the time of meals. If you can avoid visiting the people at the time of meals, such that it will not be that, oh, he's visiting us so that he can partake in our meals, like the time of breakfast or lunch or dinner. Avoid these times, unless there is a particular invitation to partake in a breakfast, or there's a particular invitation that, oh, meet us at the time of lunch, or meet us at the time of dinner, or meet us at the time of breakfast. Otherwise, it is inappropriate for the person who is visiting to calculate the time that the people will be busy with their meals and seek to visit them at that time. That was the first thing Imam Jamaluddin Al-Qasimi mentioned regarding the manners of visiting people. Let it not be at the time that the people will be engaged in sleep. Likewise, let it not be at the time that people will be engaged in food. That was the first thing that he mentioned. He said also, Rahimahullah, وَأَنْ يَكُونَ بِمَلَابِسَ نَظِيفَةٍ وَهَيْئَةٍ حَسَّنًا أَنْ يَكُونَ بِمَلَابِسَ نَظِيفَةٍ. When you visit people, let it be upon مَلَابِسٌ نَظِيفَةٌ. Let it be upon clothes that are nice, clean clothes. نَظِيفَةٌ. Let it be upon clean dressing. وَهَيْئَةٍ حَسَّنًا. A nice look, clean. Clean dress is not dirty, and a nice look, not a disfigured look. Don't be disheveled when you visit a Muslim. Visit a Muslim. Inshallah, we shall be reading a number of ahadith regarding these matters. These issues are already mentioned in the books of hadith. But we felt that since we have already encouraged visiting, then it is necessary to quickly begin to mention the manners connected to it. Most of these points are points that we will find the books of hadith as we read them along in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So, يجب أن تكون في غير وقت النوم وتحسن في غير وقت العقل. It should be away from the time of sleep, and it is better if it is not at the time of a meal. Likewise, وأن يكون بملابس نظيفة وهيئة حسنة. It should be in clean clothes and nice look. وَأَنْ يَطْرُقَ الْبَابَ بِلُطْفٍ إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثٍ. أَنْ يَطْرُقَ الْبَابَ. The person who is visiting should knock the door. When you visit the people, knock the door. بِلُطْفٍ. Easily. Don't knock it hard. Some people visit the people and they bang the door. That you are a visitor does not guarantee you to bang the door on the residence of the house. Bah, 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 like that. Don't bang the door. تترك الباب باللطف. When you knock the door, you make it easy. And you do that the first, the second, إلى ثلاثة. Yani up to the third time. And this is connected to the issues of istizan, adab istizan, the manners connected to asking for permission to come into the house. Those are also mentioned in the books of hadith, and including our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. We shall come back to the manners connected to asking for permission to come into a house. From that is that you don't bang the door on the heads of the people residing in the house. From that also is that you don't stay in front of the door. You stay by the side of the door. You don't stay in right in front of the door. You stay by the side of the door, so that you do not begin to peek into the house inappropriately. You don't stay right in front of the door that will be open to you. You stay by the side. And you don't begin to peek, raise the head to look beyond, maybe into the gate of the house that you are going into. You are at the gate, knocking the gate. Pam, pam, pam. And at the same time, you are peeping, looking into the house. This is not from the manners of Islam. But when you go, تترك الباب بلطف إلى ثلاثة. You will knock the door بلطف with some gentility, ila thalathin, up to three times. So you mentioned you knocked the door gently. And we remember that that is also from the verses of the Quran. We shall come back to that in greater details, inshallah. لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها. So when you want to knock, the first thing you say is التسليم. السلام عليكم. Then you knock the door. السلام عليكم. Then you knock the door. السلام عليكم. Then you knock the door. If you hear somebody say to you, who is that man? Man Bilbab, who is at the door? Answer your name. Say your name. I am Ismail. I am Ishaq. I am Yaqub. Don't say, come and open that door. Don't shout upon the people in the house to open the door. Don't get enraged when you ask for permission, because when you follow these matters, you are actually following direct, clear-cut instructions from the Quran. So when you say assalamu alaikum, then you tap the door gently. You don't bang the door. You don't stay right in front of the door. You stay sideways. And you don't peek into the compound that you are going into. You don't peek into the compound. You stay by the side and you tap the door. You tap the door gently. So Jamaluddin al-Qasimi rahimahullah said, وَأَنْ يَطْرُقَ الْبَابَ بِلُطْفٍ. The visiting person should knock the door with some carefulness, last alasim, up to three times. وَلَهُ بَعْدَهَا الْإِنْصِرَافِ وَلَهُ بَعْدَهَا الْإِنْصِرَافِ. What he has to do after the third knocking is to go away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, has said to us that if you seek permission to enter a place three times, at the end of the third one, there is no permission for you to come in. Just go away. Don't say I have been on a very long journey and then you are not. No, just go away. Just go. Sometimes they may now even answer you, alaykum salam, we are this. Oh, I'm sorry, please. We are very, very busy now. The house is on kept. Oh, we are busy doing this. We are busy doing that for the sake of Allah. Can you come back tomorrow? Don't get annoyed. Don't get annoyed. Allah says, وَإِذَا كِلَ لَكُمْ رِجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا هُوَ أَذْكَى لَكُمْ. When you are told, فَإِن كِلَ لَكُمْ رِجِعُوا. If it were that, it was said to you, go back. Maybe an excuse was given why they could not allow someone from outside the house to come into the house. So an excuse was given and it was said to you, can you please go back? Irji'u, the Quran says, go back. That is better for you. So two things can make you go back. Nobody answered, or that they expressly said to you, please, we are sorry, can we receive you tomorrow, please, for the sake of Allah. Just go back. That is better, purified for you, according to your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So go back without being angry. Your rewards are already established. The fourth thing Al-Imam Shaykh Jamaluddin Al-Qasimi mentioned in Adab al-Ziyara, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدِ الْمَزُورِ. مَنْ لَمْ يَجِدِ الْمَزُورِ. If you come and you do not find the people that you have come to visit, فَلْيَتْرُكِ اسْمَهُ مَعَ الْخَادِمِ. فَلْيَتْرُكِ اسْمَهُ مَعَ الْخَادِمِ. You can drop your name with the person at the door, with the servant of the house who comes to check the gate. Maybe the gate man or the security, let them know. أَوْ عَلَى بِطَاقَةٍ. Or you can drop your name in a card and pass it in such a way that it will be determined that you actually came visiting. The fifth thing that he mentioned, he said, وَمَنْ وَجَدَ الْبَابَ مَفْتُوحًا. Whoever comes and finds the door of the house opened, the gate is open by the time it came. فَلَا يَدْخُلْ إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَنْ يَسْتَأْذِنَ اللَّهُ الْخَادِمُ. فَلَا يَدْخُلْ إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَنْ يَسْتَأْذِنَ اللَّهُ الْخَادِمُ. The fact that you came and found the house with its gate open, it's not guaranteed that you should come into the house. The fact that you came and you found the gates open, it's not guaranteed that you should come into the house. So don't go in. Wait outside. What you should rather do is that you do not come in illa ba'da an yasta'zina lahu al-khadim, until the person at the gate, the security man, goes to ask for your permission to come in, or yursila ma'ahu bitaqatahu, or you can send the security, you can give the security or the person in charge of the gates and the doors, you can give him a card or a writing to say as a message to the house, I am so visiting you. The sixth thing he mentioned, he says, وَلَا يُفَاجِئُ الْمَزُورَ مُفَاجَأَةً. لَا يُفَاجِئُ الْمَزُورَ مُفَاجَأَةً. Don't just make it a sudden thing. You just jump suddenly to the people. Don't just jump suddenly to the person you are visiting. مُفَاجَأَةً. Don't just make it sudden. It's so sudden, he can't even place the visit. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُولِمُ مَنْ فُوجِئَ فِي بَدْءِ رُؤِيَتِهِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ, because this fear, visit without any sort of a notice or sign or expectation at all, you just saw the man. يُولِم, it brings alarm, it brings discomfort and inconvenience to the person that you are visiting for the first time when he sees you. He's not expecting. So when he sees you, it feels, subhanAllah, something is happening. What happened? So let's try in a way, more so in our own times. Jamaluddin Qasmi was from the 18th century, two centuries ago, late 18th century. Jamaluddin Qasmi. And he's saying to us that don't just visit the man straight without any sort of a prior notice one way or the other, more so when that is possible. And that is possible now much more in our own times. It is possible now. So it will remove that first pain, that first tension, that first unease, discomfort and inconvenience that the person feels when he sees you just upon a visit. That thing is removed from him if you give him some sort of a notification before you visit. Seventh, he said, woman, شعر أن لمزوره شغلا, if you notice that the person you are visiting, يكون له شغلا, he will be busy out of هيؤا لحاجة, or he will be getting ready for some certain things he likes to do. فليبادر بالانصراف من شعر أن لمزوره شغلا, if you notice that those you have come to visit are busy, you may come, you may be allowed in, you sit down. Then you notice that this person I have come to visit is busy. He's getting ready for a particular thing he wants to do. Maybe they have a walima in the house. He's running around. He came to visit. He doesn't have the time. He's busy. Or he's getting ready to travel. Or he's getting ready to do something from his own needs. You are now visiting him. You notice that this person is busy, or is busy trying to get ready for some things. The ulama say, don't delay your stay. Quickly try to start going. Even if the person tries to tell you to wait, just try to go. Why? Because if you leave him, he will find ease in it. He'll be able to face his activities and get busy with what he does. Another point that Sheikh Jamaluddin Al-Qasmi mentions from the manners of visiting people is that وَلَا يَتَنَاجَى مَعَ غَيْرِهِ بِحَضْرَةِ الْمَزُورِ. لَا يَتَنَاجَى, he doesn't go and start making private consults in the presence of the person you are visiting. Two, three persons visit a person. And right in front of the person that you have visited, the two, three of you begin to make private consultations amongst you in his presence. You are talking to the ears of yourself in his presence. Don't do that upon a visit. don't visit the person, and then two of you begin to, or yourself and somebody begin to, in the house, begin to say something private. Don't do that before the person that you have come to visit. He also mentioned, rahimahullah, وَلَا يُطِيلُ مُدَّةَ الْمُقَابَلَةِ لَا يُطِيلُ مُدَّةَ الْمُقَابَلَةِ You who have gone to visit a person in his house, don't make your visit prolonged. The time that you are meeting the person, don't make it prolonged. If they have an outing to make, if they have a job to do in the house. So when you came visiting, he created time to attend to you. Don't now make it prolonged. So you're prolonging that visit. Already your rewards are established. When you walk to his house, Allah will say, Ifta, Wataba Mamshaka, Wataba Wata Manjilan fil Jannah. Now that's established. So don't make the visit now become a means of discomfort to the person that you have visited. How? By sitting down with him, engaging him, you know, making it so long and protracted. Maybe he has a meeting, maybe he has a job, maybe he has a reading, maybe he has a class, maybe he has a visit, maybe he has someone in the hospital he has to visit and he wouldn't like to tell you. Maybe he has other things he has to do after your visiting. When you visit, you sit down, it becomes so protracted. Your visit becomes a means of inconvenience to that person, and that is not appropriate. The next thing he mentioned, the ninth point we like to mention, he says, وَلَا يَنْصَرِفُ إِلَّا بِالِاسْتِئِذَانِ لَا يَنْصَرِفُ إِلَّا بِالِاسْتِئِذَانِ The one who has come to make a visit, لَا يَنْصَرِفُ He will not leave except by the permission of the person that you have come to visit. There's also a clear-cut hadith regarding this from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That hadith, I think, occurs in Silsilatul Ahadith Sahihah. If you visit someone, you don't leave his house until you have obtained a permission from him. The tenth thing I like to mention regarding the manners of visiting and receiving visitors, the Sheikh said, وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَحَدًا بِزِيَارَتِهِ فَلَا يُخْلِفُ وَعَدَهُ مَعَكُ إِذَا وَعَدَ أَحَدًا بِزِيَارَتِهِ If you promise someone to visit him, فَلَا يُخْلِفُ وَعْدَهُ مَعَهُ That promise you have given to that person, don't violate that promise. I'll visit you tomorrow by 12 o'clock. Make sure you go tomorrow 12 o'clock. Don't break that promise. وَلْيَكُنْ حُضُورُهُ فِي الْوَقْتِ الْمُعَيَّنِ Let it be that at the specified time that you have agreed to visit, that should be the time that you make the visit. وَإِنْ طَرَعَ عُذُرٌ فَيَجِبُ إِخْبَارُهُ قَبْلَ الْمِعَادِ If something happens that will not make you be able to make the visit, absolutely, or that something happens that will not make you be able to make the time, he said, فَيَجِبُ إِخْبَارُهُ It becomes compulsory for you to inform that person that I will not be able to make it قَبْلَ الْمِعَادِ Before the time that you agreed upon. If you agreed upon 2 a.m., make 2 a.m. If you agree upon 2 p.m., make 2 p.m. If, for whatever reason, you will not be able to make the time, let him know that you will not be able to make the time. These are manners connected to visiting a Muslim and gaining the rewards of visiting. We chose to quickly mention these manners because we already mentioned an encouragement to visit that when a Muslim visits his brother, قَالَ اللَّهُ لَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, تِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَنْ شَاكَ وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مَنْزِلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ I hope that is clear, bismillah. So let us note those manners as we follow those narrations regarding the visits. Now we can quickly come back to our chapter heading, بَابُ مَنْ زَارَ قَوْمًا فَطَعِمَ عِنْدَهُمْ The chapter about the one who visits a people, فَطَعِمَ عِنْدَهُمْ And then he takes a meal with them. He visited them and partook in a meal in the house. Al-Imam al-Bukhari stated that will be under narration 347. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدِ بْنُ سَلَامٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الْوَهَّابِ
عن خالد الحذاء عن أنس بن سيرين عن أنس بن مالك أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم زار أهل بيت من الأنصار فطعم عندهم طعاما فلما خرج أمر بمكان من البيت فنوضح له ألا بساط فصلى عليه ودعا لهم. الإمام البخاري reports this narration from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salam. And that is الإمام محمد ibn Salam al-Bikandi رحمه الله. He is reporting from his Sheikh Abdul Wahhab ibn Abdul Majid al-Kufi. Abdul Wahhab ibn Abdul Majid al-Kufi. عن خالد الحذاء. خالد الحذاء is a well-known reporter of hadith. He is very commonly called خالد الحذاء amongst the scholars of hadith. And he is reporting from Anas ibn Sirin. Yesterday we said to us that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, he had a number of brothers and sisters who were also scholars of hadith. We mentioned to us yesterday Ma'bad ibn Sirin. We mentioned Yahya ibn Sirin. We mentioned Hafsa bint Sirin. Here this is Anas ibn Sirin from the sisters of who? Muhammad ibn Sirin. From the brothers of Muhammad ibn Sirin, Anas ibn Sirin. And Anas ibn Sirin happens to be one of the students of Anas ibn Malik. So this is Anas reporting from who? Anas. رحمهم الله. أنس بن مالك أبو حمزة الأنصاري رضي الله عنه said أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم زار أهل بيت من الأنصار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم visited a household amongst the people of Medina. This is evidence that no matter your level of knowledge, you still have it from the Sunnah to visit your people. The Prophet was the head of the people, alayhi salatu wasalam. Not just the head, he was the messenger of Allah. Yet he still had the time to visit his people. So the scholars should visit the students. Teachers should visit their students. Imams visit your congregation. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit his people. He will visit Abu Bakr, he will visit Omar, he will visit Uthman, he will visit the companions. And this is one of such visits of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to his congregation. So Anas said, Anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zara ahla baytin min al-ansar. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam visited a household from amongst the people of Medina. So that establishes the sunnah of what? Visiting. فَطَعِمَ عِنْدَهُمْ طَعَامًا. When the Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, طَعِمَ عِنْدَهُمْ طَعَامًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate some food when he came. So from the sunnah of visiting is that if you are prevented some meal, some water, some food, you should partake from it. Don't say, oh no, I'm not eating. Partake from it. The ulama will say that min tamam al-ziyara an yuqaddama lil-za'iri ma hadara. From the perfection of the visit is that whatever we have, we present it to the visiting person. From the perfection of a visit is that just as we are able to do it, when we have a visitor, just where as we are able to, whatever we have, we present to the visitor. If we have food, we present the food. If we have pounded yam, we present pounded yam from Ekiti or Ondo. If you have whatever you have to give him to eat, so if it is water, to present the water. It is from the perfect aspects of what they are. So let us note this. If you visit someone and you are presented with something, take for as much as you are able to partake in the meal. So from the sunnah of visiting is that we present some things we have for food, for eating, drinking, or something to the person who has visited us. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave a visit and he was presented with some food. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to leave, أمر بمكان من البيت فنوضح له على بساطة أمر بمكان من البيت. He commanded regarding a particular place in the house. فنوضح له على بساطة, and the spread in that house, the spread like a mat or a carpet or a rug, نوضح له, some water wells was sprinkled upon it. In another report by Anas ibn Malik, Anas said, I was the one who did that. I sprinkled water on it. The reason why some water was sprinkled on that rug is that it had been used for a very long time. So some dust had, you know, assembled on it. So it needed to be dusted and some water sprinkled on it to make it clean. So that was done and placed in a particular place in the house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now prayed on that carpet, wada'a lahu, and then he made dua for them. So the ulama say, this is one evidence that people should have in their homes a place where they observe salah. We should have a musalla in the house. So this is a very common thing. One of the scholars, Shaykh Khalid Al-Ambari, he has an entire book on this, Masajidul Buyut, the mosques in the homes. The companions used to have places in the homes where they observe salah. A place they dedicate in the house for salah, for azkar, for nawafil. Don't forget that the place where we best observe nawafil is where? In the home. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the best salah the individual will observe are those salawat that he observes where? Inside his house. So they used to have a place where they observed salah. That was what the Prophet did to them, alayhi salatu salam. He looked at the house and said, you can be observing salah here. So he led them in a nafila in that house. Another point of benefit we gain from this is that wada'a lahum, he now prayed Allah for them. He prayed, he begged Allah for those people. He prayed for the household. He ate their meat. He prayed, observed salah, a nafila in the house, and then he made dua for the people of that home. He made dua for the people of the home. So don't forget, oh visitor, when you visit your brothers, don't forget to make lots of dua. Don't forget to make lots of dua for them. That is from the sunan of visiting. And these sunan of visiting that we had mentioned, we did not mention them in the 10 points that we mentioned earlier in the class today. So let us note them. It is sunnah for the elder, for the teacher, for the scholar, for the imam, for the ruler, for the leader, to visit those that are in his congregation. And when he visits them, it is also from the sunnah to partake in a meal, just as it is presented to him. And when he does that, it is also from the sunnah of visiting to make dua for those people who he has visited. I hope that these points are clear regarding the manners of visiting. We can move to narration number 348. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said in it, حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيُّ ابْنُ حُجْرٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا صَالِحُ ابْنُ عُمَرَ الْوَاسِطِ عَنْ عَبِي خَلْدَ قَالَ جَاءَ عَبْدُ الْكَرِيمِ أَبُو أُمَيَّ إِلَى عَبِي الْعَالِيَةِ وَعَلَيْهِ ثِيَابُ صُوفٍ وقال أبو العالية إنما هذه ثياب الرهبان إن كان المسلمون إذا تزاوروا فجملوا. الإمام البخاري رفتر من الشيخ علي بن حجر المروزي. علي بن حجر المروزي. He said حدثنا صالح ابن عمر الواسطي. صالح ابن عمر الواسطي. He is reporting from Abu Khalda. Abu Khalda, he is خالد ابن دينار البصري. He is the one narrating this incident. Abu Khalda is the one narrating what happened. And what happened was that Abdul Karim Abu Umayyah, Abdul Karim ibn Abi al-Makharif, Abdul Karim ibn Abi al-Makharif was a well-known person with a lot of worship. He was given to a lot of worship. He used to worship a lot of nawafil, a lot of fasting. And he cried usually when he heard the Quran. He is always weeping to the recitation of the Quran. So much so that Al-Imam Malik used to respect the way he's blessed with a mind that receives the Quran and weeps. Al-Imam Malik became so amazed with that. Rahimahullah. He was Abdul Karim Abu Umayyah. So Abdul Karim Abu Umayyah visited Abu al-Aliyah. Abu al-Aliyah was a tabi'i. He is Rufay' ibn Mihran. Abu al-Aliyah, he is Rufay' ibn Mihran. So Abdul Karim visited Abu al-Aliyah. Wa alayhi siyabu sufi. And during that visit, Abdul Karim Abu Umayyah was wearing a cloth, a garment, suf, made of wool. It was made of wool. He was wearing a material made of wool. Perhaps he would have been wearing that cloth over a long period of time and looking unkempt. Faqala Abu al-Aliya, the tabi'i, the eminent learned tabi'i, rahimahullah, Rufay' ibn Mihran, Abu al-Aliya, now said, innama هذه ثياب الرهبان. This dress that you have worn is the dress of monks. You know the Christian monks who remain secluded. They are just somewhere, not coming out. They've disconnected from the issues. Allah mentioned them to us in the Quran. Those who are busy with monasticism, الرهبانية. Allah says, وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. Monasticism was an innovation, was a bid'ah that the Christians started. They started it. They started monasticism. Allah says, ابْتَدَعُوهَا. They were the ones who innovated it. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We did not approve it for them as a means of worship. It was an innovation. It was a bid'ah. They were the ones who started it. Even when they started it, yes, they thought that they want to please Allah with it. But Allah did not approve of it for them. That is what we must note. When you want to please Allah with what Allah has approved for you. Do this thing to please me. Don't seek to please Allah with something that has not been approved. That is what is referred to as a bid'ah. Don't seek to please Allah with a worship that is not in the Quran nor in the Sunnah. As for those people, Allah says, وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. They invented monasticism. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِ. We did not approve it for them. We did not enjoin them to do it. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. But they thought that they want to seek Allah's pleasure with it. Allah says, even at that, فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَيَتِهَا. They were not even able to uphold the rulings of what they had innovated. So for the sake of Allah, let us be careful about trying to please Allah with something that Allah has not approved. That's why the Messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام, would say, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ أَوْ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا. Whoever does a good deed, an act of worship, seeking to please us with it, لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا, that we have not given our permission to. We have not given it our approval. So Abu al-Aliya, he saw on Abu Umayyah Abdul Karim, that he was wearing a woolly cloth looking like the clothes of monks. that's also going to make us understand that a Muslim should not physically look like non-Muslims. Because here I was saying, why are you dressed? This dress is the dress of monks. So if you know a particular dressing to be common with a particular people of another religion, then don't use it. Like the gowns of Saleh, don't wear the gowns of Saleh as a Muslim. Don't wear the gown of a Saleh. Why? That's a particular cloth known with a particular people as a particular religion. The Buddhist monks too, they have dresses they make. Don't dress like that. Don't wear dresses like that. So this was what Abu Aliya was criticizing in Abdul Karim Abu Umayyah. So don't dress in such a way that the person you are visiting will begin to criticize your dressing. One of the brothers used to say about another brother that if you visit him, he will first of all look at you from head to toe. I hope that we know the evidence for that now, that Abu Aliya was looking at Abu Umayyah as he came to visit him. And then he said to him, "Innama hadhihi thiyabu ruhban." What you are dressing in is no more than the dress of monks. In kana al-muslimun, as for the Muslims, we Muslims, what our deen has prescribed is that idha tazawaru tajammalu, idha tazawaru, idha tazawaru. Muslims, idha tazawaru, when we mutually visit ourselves, tajammalu, they dress beautifully, they dress well. So from the manners of visiting is that the person who is visiting his brother should do what? Yatajammalu, he should dress well. He should beautify himself. Let the people see you on the road and say, ah, where are you going? Say, I'm going for a visit. When we visit ourselves as Muslims, from the manners that we must employ is that we are properly dressed. Each of us is properly dressed. So from the manners of Az-Ziyara is to make what? At-Tajammul. At-Tajammul Zair. The one who is visiting should dress properly. And we had mentioned a number of manners too. I think it will be convenient, inshallah, to stop here. Because we may not be able to exhaust the next hadith within the time frame that we have. So we can go on to see if we have some questions that we may attend to today, inshallah, from Abu Amir. Abu Amir, bismillah.
Jazakumullah khairan, shaykhana. Ahsanallah
ilayhi. Ameen.
The first question here is, can Muslim women go visiting, considering that they are supposed to stay at home?
Well, can they go visiting? If it is necessary, they can. I say if it is necessary because we know circumstances when women like to visit women. Women like to visit women at the time of child delivery. Women like to visit women at the times of feasting, walima, things like this. These are things in the nature of women they like to do. And because they always be in the house, which is the basic rule for them, it's a basic thing. The basic thing for the women is al-qararu fil bayt, staying at home. So sometimes they also may feel like visiting by way of bringing some relief to the mind, just to go on visiting, to bring relief to the mind. If the husband allows it and feels comfortable with that place they are going to, because sometimes women go to places that the husband doesn't like, and they start quoting hadith. They say we should visit. Don't visit a person that your husband doesn't like you to visit. Just like, don't bring into your home someone that your husband doesn't like to come into the home. This is a clear-cut instruction from the Prophet. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the rights of a man over his wife is that no one should come into the house except a person that the husband is pleased with. So don't allow a woman to visit you if your husband is not pleased with that woman. Don't also go to visit a place If you know that your husband does not like you to go there, don't go. So these are general instructions for women, general advices for women when it comes to the issues of visiting. And then, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes too, women want to observe salah in the masjid. So if they want to observe salah in the masjid, it is from the man is encouraged to allow them as long as they follow the prerequisites. They dress properly and they're not perfumed. So if it's safe for them, the husband should allow them. It is lawful. Once it is safe, they are properly dressed. The place they are going to is a place he knows to be safe. It is not that they are going to do a visit so that they can start backbiting and slandering people, or that the woman is moving from one house to the other, carrying one news information from here, because some women do that. They move from one house to the other in the name of, I came to do ziyara, and then they are moving information from one house to the other. If they move from house A to house B, they carry the information from house A to house B. If they move from house A, B to C, they carry information from house A and B to house C. The more houses they visit, the more backbiting and slandering they carry about. We hope that this is not the case with the question. If it is just a case of a honorable, noble visit, that is allowed by the husband, then it is lawful, inshallah. I hope that it is clear, Abu Amr.
Naam, Shaykhana, salawatullahi alaykum.
Ameen wa iyaakum.
This one reads, are these rules applicable to a man returning home from work or journey? Jazakumullahu khairan.
Well, that's about not informing the home. If you are returning from the journey, from the sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that he sends a message home first. And he makes the home be aware that it's around. He doesn't just pump into the house. And from that, it's also that he goes to the masjid first. Look at the stages. When he comes into the city, the house is aware. When he comes near the house, he doesn't just enter the house. He goes to the masjid first. In all of that, if women have things they have to clean up, you know, women sometimes, if they have things they have to clean up, they have to have their baths, they have to cook food, they have to quickly, overhearing that he's around, they begin to get themselves ready to receive their husband that has been upon a journey. So like we mentioned, don't just bump into people in a visit. Likewise, don't just bump into your household when you return from a visit. This is what I've understood from the question. I hope that it got an answer.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Sheikh. This question has been coming in for weeks now. Can women use wool or rubber to plait their hair?
Can women use wool or rubber to plait their hair? No, they should not. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited women from using anything, not just hair. So that we can say, no, it is talking about use of wigs. No, he prohibited anything. And that hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari said, radiyallahu anhuma, zajara al-Nabiyu sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam al-mar'a an tasila bi sha'riha shay'a. A woman is prohibited. He warns a woman from connecting anything, shay'an, to it. Many of the scholars have commented on this hadith and concluded that it includes anything. From among those who have this conclusion was Al-Imam Abul Abbas al-Qurtubi, and from the most recent one that I have seen is Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi. If you go to his commentary on Sahih Muslim, he discussed this hadith widely and gave a lot of it. In fact, the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that no wool, no thread, nothing should be tied on the head. Nothing should be tied on the head, like wool, like rubber, like thread. Don't tie anything on the head because of this prohibition from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I hope that it is clear. Some even ask, how about colored threads? The ulama say, don't put it. How about this? He said, don't put it. Why? Because the Prophet said, Shay'a, go back to these texts and look at them, bismillah. Some of the people restrict it to wasilat wal mustawsilat. This is something else, that is women who place attachments. This is not about an attachment. There's a different hadith, hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and others regarding attachment. But this includes both attachment and any other thing apart from attachment. I hope that it is clear, Abu Amir.
Naam, Shaykhana. Jazakumullah khair.
Naam. Amin wa antum.
This one reads, Assalamu alaikum, sir. What is the ruling in diplomatically refusing to eat food provided by a family visited if the refusal was based on the knowledge that the family is undergoing financial hardship and that the food may just be what they have to feed themselves? Jazakumullah khair.
I mean, one to partake in the meal. Partake in the meal. There are conditions like this, whether in the house of the messenger or in the house of others amongst the companion, where what they provide for their visitor is all that they have. And we did not hear them refusing to eat because that's all that they have. So partake in it. Partake in it. You don't need to diplomatically reject, because the joy with the pleasure, the comfort, the love with which they presented the meal, you will add a pain to it when you reject that meal. You return it with a pain. You return it with a pain if you reject the meal. So eat it, be happy with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for them. So don't say, oh no, we there are many incidences like that we are reported in history, and we did not find the early Muslims rejecting because that's just what they have in the house. You may just think that that's just what they have. They may have others. They may have. So don't reject and bring a pain to them. They would like to feel happy that you ate from them. They'll be happy. But when you reject it, you now remind them that they don't have. So there's some sort of spiritual connection to this matter beyond they have or they don't have. So the love with which they have presented it is the same love with which you should eat from it, from as much as Allah permits you. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
Naam, Shaykhana. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah
khair. I think this is asking for a clarification. Does that mean we can't visit someone without prior notice?
Yeah, we can visit without prior notice if it will not bring discomfort to the person that we are visiting. You can visit if it will not bring discomfort to him. If it will bring discomfort to him, inconvenience, he has an inability to welcome you, he is busy at the time, he is not able to take care of you, then it's better you make him know first. Particularly if he's someone who is usually busy. The man is always busy. And you came knock on his door, I want to come in. Then he can say to you, please, I can't entertain a visitor today. You can come tomorrow. As we have read from the manners. Because don't forget, there's nothing that guarantees you if you say you are visiting him and he says, come back tomorrow. As lawful as your visit is, that is how lawful it is also for him to say, come back at another time when you knock his gate. Say, please, I'm sorry, can you come back tomorrow because I'm busy now? That's what Allah told us in the Quran. وَإِذَا كِلَ لَكُمْ رُجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا. So if they say, please, can you come back later? Go back and come back later. Who has galakum? So if you want to visit him without notice, you didn't give him notice or her notice, you just visit. And it happens to be at a time that he cannot entertain a visitor, then he can tell you to come back. Just as he shouldn't be annoyed that you came without notice, you shouldn't be annoyed too that he's not able to attend to you at the time. That should be some sort of, because visitation is to bring joy. We want to share joy amongst ourselves. So whatever we bring discomfort and inconvenience, we should try to remove it as much as possible. This is the basic rule regarding this matter. Whatever we bring inconvenience and discomfort, remove it from the visit. So if telling him before or telling her before will help, you know, the atmosphere of visits, then tell them before. If you just go upon visiting them without notice and it does not bring any harm to them, or inconvenience them, that is lawful. But when brings inconvenience to them and they choose to say come back tomorrow, then you shouldn't feel that why have they told you to come back tomorrow, because that's also lawful for them. I hope that it is clear. But if you also come to them without notice and they are able to accommodate you and attend to you as a visitor, then that's okay too, inshallah. I hope that that is clear, Abu Amir.
Naam, Shaykhana, ahsan Allah ilaykum.
I mean, we spent the time already. Can we have one more question from you before we call it a day?
All right, sir. So, reads, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Does this office apply to visiting a co-wife? She practically doesn't welcome me, doesn't even come out of the room to greet me after the kids let me in. How do I handle this?
Well, you have your rewards already. A co-wife, you visit, and then the kids let you in, and then she doesn't come out to say even a taslim to you. You have earned your rewards for the visit. Allah would have said regarding you what the messenger told us about Sibta wa qaba mamshak wa tabawwa'ta maq'adan fil jannah. So what manzilan fil jannah? So you have done your own, you have earned your rewards. And I tell you this, don't think that goodness will bring you evil. That goodness that you have shown to her will not bring to you except goodness. Because I'm sure when you leave, her conscience, if she has, will not allow her rest. Her conscience, if she has, will prick her. So someday, maybe you visited the first, second, third time, you even came with a gift you know she likes, like a big sumptuous sweet watermelon. You left it and you go away. When she's taking that watermelon, she'll be remembering you, and her conscience will tell her, oh, why have you done this? So over a period of time, inshallah, it may be a means of making her calm. You know, some of the women are not able to control their jealousy in any way. So for the sake of Allah, I employ women to please be patient with one another when your husband chooses to marry more than one wife. When the women come, please entertain them. Don't say because she's a co-wife, you can't entertain her and all of this. Let us try to negotiate these issues and come together as one single family unit. May Allah make it easy for each and every one of us. I think we can stop here, Abu Amir.
Amen. Nam jazakumullah khairan shaykhan.
Amen wa antum fa jazakumullah khairan. Amen, amen wa antum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.